1, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 27 through 28. 27 through 28. First thing we're going to see in these two verses is what we should do. I thought I'd put what in the first blank, and you'll see why in a little bit. Okay. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due. Notice that this good is due to some, right? To them. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due. When it is in the power of thine hand to do it, say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give, when thou hast it by thee. So verse 27 in your notes, just underline that other word good, because that good is due to some people. To whom, right? To whom it is due. So as you look at verse 27, this looks like wages that are good, right? The wages, the payment as good that is due to those that have earned it, right? It is justice. And so you have it, so you have to give it. There's something happening where you need to give this to them. It is due them, and so God says, pay what you owe, right? If you have it, you give it. And so that's your next blank. You ought to give what you owe. Whenever you strike a deal and somebody provides services, somebody provides goods, you need to make the payment that was agreed upon. Give what is due. Pay what you owe. And so where verse 27 deals with payment, contrast verse 28. This deals more with benevolence, where you're not just giving what is owed. That's not really what we're focusing on in verse 28. We're giving what's needed, and you have it, right? So in verse 28, say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give, when thou hast it by thee. In other words, you could give it right now, you just don't want to. So if you can do good, you ought to do it without delay. When the opportunity presents itself for you to do good, don't delay. Give it now, because tomorrow never comes. Come back tomorrow. I'll give you what you need tomorrow. Well, no, they need it now. That's why they came to ask. And the reason you're saying come back tomorrow is because you're not willing to say, I just don't want to give to you. And sometimes that's the case, right? Well, you have need, or you're saying you have need. Maybe it's because you don't agree that they have need. And whatever the reason is you're not willing to say, I don't want to give to you. And so you say, come back tomorrow. So at a minimum, don't lead people on, right? Sometimes people will come to you and say, hey, I need your help. And the reason why is maybe they've made a mess for themselves. And you're thinking, I'll bail you out of this mess. And then you're going to just turn around and make another mess. And I'm going to have to bail you out tomorrow. When does the insanity end? And so maybe there's a reason there to say no. For example, I'll give you a great example. We don't give out money at MBT. And a lot of people, now here's the thing, okay, so say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give when thou hast it by thee. MBT has the money to do the ministry that God's called us to. We're conservative financially. We don't spend money that we don't have. We do zero-based budgeting. I mean, we make sure that we're not spending money that we don't have, and we make a plan for every dollar that we guesstimate, that we estimate will come in. And then every month we're looking at the numbers, and we just don't get crazy and spend money that, you remember over Focus, the AC unit conked out? Well, we didn't have to panic and wring our hands and say, hey, we better pass the hat because the air conditioner broke down. And you know that cost, Shane, did I see you? That cost $7,000 to fix that thing, right? Right around $7,000? Did we get a break at all? We haven't got the final bill. Oh, please pray. Okay. About $7,000. Okay. And then we had to rent a heater to get the thing going. That was like $500 a day, right? Am I remembering that right? Huh?
Yeah, about that.
A little bit more, you said?
Yeah.
And then we had to buy gas for it. Okay, so like we weren't wringing our hands, oh no, what are we going to do? Well, we actually planned for that, right? So there's money in the bank. And so what people will see is well, it looks like they're working on the building. They must have money. And so then they come up and say, well, you know, it's hard out here for a pimp. And can you hook me up? And No, we don't give out money. Because what we've learned, now in the early days, I wasn't thinking things through, and I would, you know, somebody come up, I'd pull out my wallet and I'd hand them money, and then I'd wonder, why did the guys need money just multiply all of a sudden? Well, it's because they go out, they tell everybody, hey, they're passing out money down at 40th and Walnut. You better go get in that line. But the problem is, and this is what we learned, money actually never solves 99% of the dysfunction that people deal with. Money isn't the answer for it. In other words, if you won't work a job, guess what? You're not going to make your bills, right? If you won't work a job, guess what? You're not going to have money for food. And if somebody hands you money for food, then you'll eat today, but then tomorrow you're going to be right in the, because you're still not working. Get a job, you bum, right? I mean, that's a simple principle. And Paul says as much, if you don't work, you don't eat. If you won't quit crack, we could throw all the money in the world at you and we're just going to help you to get to hell just that much faster. And so, I mean, there's just, money rarely solves problems, but there are things that we can give and that we do have available. And if people are willing to receive it, well, then we have the responsibility to give it. So we partner with the City Union Mission. People say, I'm hungry. Great, we already bought you a sandwich. And it comes with accountability down at the City Union Mission. We've been buying you sandwiches for years. Why haven't you been going to eat them? Why didn't you get into the Christian Life and Witness program? Why didn't you get in a program that was going to help you get your life back together? You know, we don't actually do that here. We don't have housing. We don't have bedding. We don't have people that are available 24/7 to make sure you're not smoking. What do you do with meth? Do you smoke meth? Do you swallow meth? How do people take meth? Do you shoot up meth? I'm a little out of the loop. I don't need to know. We don't have people here 24/7 to make sure you're not licking meth pills. I don't know. You know, that's not what we do here. But that's a real need, and so we have it. So we give to the people that absolutely are making sure that people aren't licking meth pills. But even at that, okay, so you're gonna take meth, and you're not gonna last at the Christian Life and Witness program, are you? You're not gonna last in the program at the Salvation Army. And so, you know, that's not what we're talking about here in verse 27. You actually have the ability to give something that somebody needs, and it will be blessing to them, not hurt. A lot of times Christians will give so you'll go away and they feel better and they won't actually have the hard conversation with, hey, stop the crazy train, get off, and let's change the trajectory, the direction of the path of your life. If you have the ability to actually help and you won't, well then it's because you don't want to. And the problem is if you're feeling selfish today, then you're going to double down on selfishness tomorrow. And so God's advice is just do it now. It's inconvenient. It's not what you wanted, but do it, right? Be the blessing. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17, Paul told Timothy to charge the rich, charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. How do you think you made all that money? How do you think you came into all of that blessing? You know, there's a lot of people out there working their tails off, and they're barely getting by. How did you get rich? Could it possibly be that God gifted you to be good with money? God gifted you to be good at making money? God gifted you entrepreneurially, creatively? God gifted you to be able to bring in the haul. And I'm not even really just talking about money. Maybe you're good at making things. You're good at making a home. You're good at making a life. And you're living well. Man, praise the Lord. You ought to thank God for that. He gave you richly all things to enjoy. So what do we charge these rich people to do? That they do good. Not that they give all their money away, but just like they're good at, right, being rich in this world, and they can thank God who has given them all things, right? Richly given to them all things to enjoy. Well, then they can turn around and they can pass on the same favor. They can do good. They can be rich in good works. People ought to be able to praise God over their investment in their life. And here it is, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. Where they see true need, charge them to fill it. Charge them to help where another is hurting. James says the same things. James chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. If you got a naked brother or sister their belly is empty. And one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be warm and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? You know, on Sunday mornings, what we have are our donut halves and coffee. And people will say, I'm hungry, I need money for food. Well, we have donuts. We can do that, and then we have a sandwich for you down at the City Union Mission. We buy sandwiches there. In other words, what's not appropriate is to say, well, starve, you idiot. You're obviously hungry for a reason, you moron. Just starve. Whenever the guys say it, I'm asking for help, right? Hey, brother, hey, sister, can you help me out? Nope. Suffer in misery. Man, that's evil. Depart in peace. Be warm and filled. God bless you. God supply all your need according to his riches and glory. Oh, come on. We need to be benevolent. 1 John 3:17-18. But whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Now conversely, right? Look at how verse 28 ends. Don't tell somebody, come back tomorrow, I'll give it. When you have it right now, when thou hast it by thee. And so the corollary to that would be if you can't give it, well, be at peace, right? If you don't have it by you, well, then be at peace. You can't give what you don't have, and so give what you can. And if you don't have it, be at peace. All right, now that brings us to verses 29 through 31. So we saw what we should do. Now in verses 29 through 31, we see what we should not do. Verse 29 says, devise not evil against thy neighbor, seeing he dwelleth securely by thee. Strive not with a man without cause, if he have done thee no harm. Envy thou not the oppressor, and choose none of his ways. Okay, so, you know, in verses 27 through 28, God is saying, hey, if you can do good, you ought to do good. But in verses 28 through 29, God is saying, just because you can do evil doesn't mean you should, right? You may be able to do evil, but you better not. Don't do it. Verse 29 starts with, devise not evil. Devise, in your King James Bible, the word that's translated devise is translated plow 13 times in your authorized version. 13 times, devise is translated as plow. Okay, so in other words, don't sow conflict and discord with your neighbor. In other words, don't pick fights. Don't go looking for trouble. Don't go sowing discord and trouble. Do not devise evil against thy neighbor, seeing he dwelleth securely by thee. Now, your neighbor that's by you, they're secure in their relationship with you, and they're, because they're human, they're going to do things that annoy you and that turn you off and sometimes will take advantage of you. And I'm talking about the person right next to you. And they will, some of you are eyeballing the person next to you, and you're like, I've been wanting to say this to you for a long time. But that street walks both ways, brother, sister. That street walks both ways. And what can happen is you start evilly surmising, and then before there's ever even really been a genuine conflict, you're looking to get even. And maybe it's not consciously, it's subconsciously, but this person is they're throwing a rave party on your last nerve, and they don't even know it because you're that sensitive or whatever. And so now you're looking to plow conflict and discord. You're looking to sow it into the relationship and pick a fight. Just because you can do evil doesn't mean you should. Don't do it. Proverbs 16:29 says, a violent man enticeth his neighbor and leadeth him into a way that is not good. Your dysfunction, your fight, well, that gets others embroiled. He shutteth his eyes to devise froward things, moving his lips, he bringeth evil to pass. So you, with your evil planning, you devise a perverse way to get even for some perceived slight, or maybe it's a real slight, I don't know, but you're looking to up the ante. And with your mouth, you work destruction. Did I give you the cross-reference of Jeremiah 18? Is that in your notes? I'll let you check that out. Here's God's remedy. Romans chapter 12, verse 18 says, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. And why does God phrase it that way in his word? Well, you're not going to be able to get along with everybody. Some people refuse to be got along with. But don't let that be on your part. Make sure it's on theirs, right? As much as is possible, right? If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, will live peaceably with all men. Now, some men refuse to live peaceably. And if you can't do anything about that, be at peace. But listen to the warning of God's word. Micah chapter 2, verse 1 says, "Woe to them that devise iniquity and work evil upon their beds." You know, some people are laying up at night planning, scheming. You know, something happened in your relationship. They didn't like it. And they just keep playing it over and over in their mind. And, you know, actually, scientifically, biochemically, you don't actually have a recording of those events, right? You have the memory stored in your meat computer, right? In your brain bucket. You have the memory stored. But when you're thinking about it, you're actually reconstructing it every time you think about that. You get that, right? You're actually building that memory every time you go back to it. And how many know that our minds are fallible? In other words, what you know happened, the more you run it through your meat processor, the more artifacts are going to jump into that memory. How many of you know what I'm talking about? And pretty soon, you've turned something into something entirely different. And this person that just keeps pushing play, and they just keep pushing play, and it just gets bigger and bigger, and the offense just gets greater and greater, and before you know it, you've worked yourself up into some feeding frenzy, like some kind of a emotional, relational piranha, because you know what happened. Man, you don't know anything. You've spent so much time warping what happened. We couldn't get the truth out of you if your life depended on it. Woe to them that devise iniquity and work evil upon their beds. What do they call NyQuil? Baptist booze? Isn't that what they call NyQuil? Just take a dose of NyQuil and go to bed. Just go to sleep. What in the world? What's wrong with you? Okay. Did I just tell you to take drugs? I'm sorry, forgive me, Lord. That's not right. Don't lick meth. Don't do it. There is no solution there. Go to bed. Stop getting wound up, right? Strive not with a man without cause if he hath done thee no harm. Perceive slights. Then watch verse 31. Envy thou not the oppressor, and choose none of his ways. Woe to them that devise iniquity and work evil upon their beds. When the morning is light, they practice it, because it is in the power of their hand. And they covet fields, and they take them by violence, and houses, and take them away. So they oppress a man in his house, every man in his heritage. So here it is, verse 30. Don't be a bully. Just don't do that. Don't pick fights with others just because you can. You think you can take advantage of someone. You don't really have a reason. They've not done anything to you, but you're feeling strong, and you want what they have, even if it's their submission. You want it. So now you're a bully. Brothers and sisters, we need to put on Christ. In Ephesians 4:2, we're told to do it with all lowliness. This is how we relate to one another, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love. Yeah, Paul told you, you're going to have to put up with a person that's next to you. Just put up with them. Now you contrast that with the messes that we make. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 through 8, I'll let you study this out. But you've got people who are taking each other to court, and they can't take a Bible and open it up and get right with God and right with each other. And Paul says, I speak this to your shame. Is it so that there's not a wise man among you? No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren. Even if you guys can't work it out, you can't go get help. You can't say to one another, hey, we're sideways with each other, and that's not going to work. I need help. Brother, sister, pastor, discipler, Bible study leader, you're not treating me fairly, and this isn't right, and I need help in this. You can't get somebody that can sit down and mediate, broker a peace deal between two people that Jesus bled and died to buy back from their sin? Come on. We get so arrogant and full of pride and self-righteous, and we get offended, and then it's war. Paul says, I speak this to your shame. In verse 7, Paul says, why do you not rather take the wrong? Why do you not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? Nay, you do wrong and defraud, and that your brethren. Now, look back at Proverbs chapter 3. In verse 29, don't devise evil. Your neighbor is, they're trusting you. They're dwelling in trust by you. But then it says, strive not without cause, right? Strive not with a man without cause if he have done thee no harm. Sometimes there will be a cause. Sometimes the fight comes to you. And again, your response to that should be as much as is possible, right? If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. But sometimes somebody, I mean, it'll just happen. Sometimes somebody's going to bring the fight to you, and you have to remember what Ephesians 6 says. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but is flesh and blood taking swings at you, right? Is flesh and blood trashing you? Is flesh and blood falsely accusing you or whatever? I mean, the battle can come to you. And sometimes people refuse peace, and there's nothing you can do about that, so you be in peace, right? You do your best to live peaceably with them, but sometimes there's a fight because there's a cause. Just make sure it's not on your part, right? You and I, we don't want to be the ones that are the source of the strife. Amen? In verse 31, you see the warning against admiring the bully. So don't admire or run with thugs. Thugs is what goes in the blank because it's cool. Don't admire, don't run with thugs. So get this down. Might is not necessarily right. You get that, right? Might outside of righteousness, well, that's just bullying, right? Might itself is not right, no matter how it may seem in the moment. And notice that the example of this bully, okay, in verse 31, envy thou not the oppressor. Man, I like how that person rolls. Look at what they do. It's like Micah chapter 2. They covet and they take. Through violence, they force. Man, that dude knows how to roll. No, don't envy him. And choose none of his ways. So in other words, whenever you see the bully in action, that forces on you and I a choice, doesn't it? The bully's example before you demands a decision from you. And God's telling you, don't roll like him. Choose none of his ways. And that brings us to verses 32 through 35. Verses 32 through 35 are the response to everything that we've just seen. So verse 32 through 35, here's the heading, why you should do what you should do. Verse 32 says, for the froward is abomination to the Lord, but his secret is with the righteous. In verse 32, it's the perverse. That's what froward means. It's the perverse that are abominable to the Lord, right? The perverseness in your dealing with people, it turns God off. He hates it. He abhors it. It puts him off. It turns him off. And notice what that camp does. Look at what that camp puts you in with the Lord. When we talk about things that are abominable to God, I'll let you study this out from Proverbs 6, 11, 12, 15, 26, 20, 21, 24, 26. I mean, just check out what is abominable before the Lord. But as you study what's abominable before God throughout your Bible, you'll see your perverse dealing with your brother or sister is just like, I mean, the way God responds to it, it's just like idolatry or sexual perversion, human sacrifice, witchcraft, being a cheat in business, a thief, right? And worshiping with the unclean. It's like ritual prostitution. God abhors it. And then look at verse 33 through 35. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked. Verse 34, surely he scorneth the scorners. And shame, verse 35, is the promotion of fools. This is no way to live. So the froward, they're abominable before the Lord, but his secret is with the righteous. That's the second half of verse 32. In other words, God is with the righteous. God is revealed to the righteous. That word secret means company. His intimacy is with the righteousness, or with the righteous. In other words, you get the inside track in terms of your relationship with him. You get the inside track on who he is and what he is thinking. His word will be opened to you. In John chapter 15 and verse 15, Jesus tells the disciples, he says, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. That's what you want. You want his secret with you. Amen? Still, it's getting better, guys. Your amen responses are a little stronger, but a little weak. Okay, Psalm 25, verse 14. Here it is again. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. And watch it. There's the pattern again. And he will show them his covenant. Man, we want the word and the life of Christ manifest in our life, don't we? Look at verse 33. The home is blessed. Right? The curse is on the house of the wicked, but he blesseth the habitation of the just. And then is, you know, the righteous enjoy the grace of God. God scorns the scorner, but he gives grace, verse 34. But he giveth grace unto the lowly. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. God gives grace to the humble in verse 34. And then in verse 35, he gives them glory. You know, the fools, shame is their promotion, but the wise, verse 35, shall inherit glory. We were just talking about this on Sunday, weren't we? That it's God's plan for you to partake of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we saw how that worked, right? When you get saved, you get a what? 20% were paying attention. When you get saved, you get a mission. You don't just get saved. Now you get put into service, don't you? God doesn't save you and just set you on a shelf. He saves you and then he puts you to work in the family business. That means he starts working with you so that you will be workable, so that you will be worked in order to produce in his kingdom, to produce in the family business. The righteous, right? God's secret is with them. And that wisdom, well, that allows them, when they get with God's program, whenever they hear his word and they receive it, they're able to inherit glory. I want to close with this. Look at these last two cross-references we have at the end of your notes. So whenever you see how God wants us to roll with people versus his warnings, be careful how we roll with people. And let me just give you two verses that will make points for pleading prayer for us tonight. Jeremiah 17:10, God says, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. In other words, God says, I see you. I see how you're rolling. I see how you're treating people. In the context of what we've seen here from Proverbs 3, he gives to every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. We're in the middle of 3 weeks of prayer and fasting. Deb, do we have the books? Are they here? Can we make sure that those are at the back so as people leave, everybody gets a book? You guys know what I'm talking about, right? Praying effectively for the lost. If you don't have it, get it. If you've already got a copy, you can get another one for the bathroom. Okay? No problem. But great book. Again, just a caveat. He makes it sound like you're going to bind the devil so that you can spoil his house and take that kid for the glory and salvation. And, you know, you can't bind the devil, but you can put in the rec order, right? You can put in the request. You can put in the PO, and it'll get delivered. God can make sure Satan's bound, and they can start hearing and seeing truth. And so just, you know, kind of keep that straight when you're going through it. And I'm sure if we had Pastor Thomas here with us, he would say the same thing. But we're praying and we're fasting for souls. We want to see souls saved. We're praying and we're fasting because what God promised in his word, we need to see it, the reality of it in our life, in our ministry. Well, I don't know about you, but I need God's blessing. I need God to do something, right? I need God to give blessing. And what God is saying here is it's according to my ways and according to the fruit of my doing. In other words, if I'm not treating my brothers and my sisters right, why would I be so proud and arrogant that I could expect and demand God to treat me right and to bless me when I have the ability to do good, but I won't do it? Does this make sense? If I don't roll with God and His Word, and I don't roll with God's people according to His Word, but then I want God's blessing on my life, it's pretty arrogant, isn't it? And I won't submit to my brother. I won't submit to my sister. I won't humble myself under the hand of God. I'm going to roll how I want. And this is the way people are in our, and especially in this, you know, these last days. Men are lovers of their own selves. And they want what they want the way that they want it. And they don't care what anybody thinks, including God. But God, you better bless me. Because I call myself a Christian, and I've attended a few services, and I've read a few chapters in your book. I'm a good person. You have to bless me. God will bless you according to your ways and according to the fruit of your doings. And so I want to invite us in the 10 minutes that we have left to do something kind of hard, something maybe a little bit dangerous. Psalm 139, verses 23 through 34. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. I'd like us to get in groups and pray for one another. And if the Lord lays it on your heart and you've seen some wicked way in you, you know, James 5 tells you, confess your faults one to another. Let's talk just very quickly about some practical wisdom here. Nobody needs to know all the gory details of all the ways that you've sinned. Okay? Ain't nobody got time for that. Don't do that. Don't do that to your brother or your sister. But you could say, man, I got a pride problem. I got a lust problem. I got a covetous problem. Do you get what I'm saying? Call it what the Bible calls it and leave it at that and let your brother or sister pray for you. In other words, brother, don't get into a group that has a sister and then say, I've been lusting for your bod and that's wrong. That's called fishing. It's predatory. Because we know why you're doing that, to see if they're like, oh, hey, well, oh, awesome. Because then you're going to up your game. So anybody sees anybody rolling predatory, we will dogpile them for the glory of God in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Don't be an idiot, but be bold. God gives grace. We can give one another grace. It's the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous that avails much. Amen? And whenever we humble ourselves and we say, man, I got this problem in my life and I need faith for it. I got this problem in my life. I need conviction, true conviction, because I need God's blessing on my life and I need to be right with my brother. I need to be right with my sister. I need this covetousness cut out of me or whatever, okay? Is this making sense? You guys get what we're describing so you know how to roll? All right, let's get in groups and let's pray. You've got the scriptures there. Let's lift them up to the Lord. Let's let our requests be made known to God.